So this is kind of a very much of a work in progress kind of talk. So that will kind of be apparent during the talk even. And since it's work in progress, it's like jointly working with the following people in this. So Christian Lanka. And Dennis Cole. So first I'll discuss the motivation for the question that I'm going to think about. And it's a very simple-minded motivation, if you will. And the situation is, let's look at an electric car or a finite field. Okay. And suppose we have a point P in P, the FQ rational points of this elliptic curve. And say we are also given an integer M. Then we know that we can compute the M times this point P in time O of log n log square q bit operations. And this is the standard repeated doubling method or double and add method. So so kind of the motivation arises from not looking at this in as log of m, but thinking of it rather as log of the degree of this map. So I'll just write it that way. So, and this kind of motivates the natural question. So, and this question is, for which maps psi between two elliptic curves, E and E prime, for which maps and which elliptic curves also maybe, can we evaluate psi of this point P on this elliptic curve in time O of log of the degree of this map. I'll define these quantities in a bit if you don't already know that. Log square Q time. And for people who know about this, the situation here, the currently known algorithms don't get anywhere near here. So they are something like this. 1 plus epsilon psi log square q. So maybe we can even weaken this question even further and ask simply, can we do it in time which is log psi times log q to some constant power. Okay, so this is basically the motivating question. And so the aim of this talk really, well, this question is actually largely open. So there are certain cases in which we can do this. And the purpose of this talk is basically to understand this question. Like, is this a well-posed question? Are there cases where we can solve it? And if so, what are those cases? And basically understand the difficulty of this. So that's the motivation. So I should define. So I'm saying which maps and which elliptic curves. So I should define for you what maps I'm going to be interested in. And so we'll spend some time understanding what the maps I'm talking about are. So maps to be. So suppose we have two elliptic curves. And let's say they are both defined over the same field K, then a map E1 to E2 or is called a homomorphism. Uh, So these elliptic curves are objects in two categories. One is the category of algebraic curves, and the other is the, they are also groups, abelian groups. So we want a homomorphism to be a map in both these categories. Is a map of algebraic curves is a homomorphism. So map of algebraic curves just means that it's given locally by rational functions. Okay, so simply given by polynomials if you think projectively, and the maps that we will be interested in are the non-zero such maps. And so, there's a term for those maps, and they're called isogenies. So that's the title of the talk too. Isogeny is simply a non-zero form. Okay, and there's a special term reserved for maps that go from the elliptic curve to itself, will be called endomorphism. So I'll spend a little bit of time talking about isogenies before we think of ways to compute them. And so some properties of isogenies. So an isogeny is automatically surjective. And it has finite kernel. And suppose you have an isogeny E prime phi. Let's say these are elliptic curves of K. Then you have an injection of function fields going from this function field to K of E. Simply, you can take a rational map here and compose it with phi to get this map. And the degree of this map, degree of this extension, this is a finite extension, is called the degree of the isogeny. Okay, so that's what we mean by the degree of isogeny, for example. A nice way to think of this is the following situation, which we'll be restricting to anyway in this talk, is that if this extension is separable, then the degree of the isogeny is the same as the cardinality of the kernel of the isogeny. Okay, so simply you can think of it as the size of the kernel for the purposes of this talk. And as an example, the multiplication by M map is an endomorphism, is also an isogeny, and is separable if M is relatively prime to the characteristic of the field. And the degree of this map is M squared. And here we have another example. If E is defined over K, and or let's say FP to be very concrete, a finite field, then we have a Frobenius map, which I'll always write pi or pi E or something in this talk. Then pi is a, this map is concrete, it takes x, y, and maps it to x to the p, y to the p. And this is a purely inseparable map. And so what are the maps that I'm going to be interested in this talk? Those are going to be isogenies of prime degree, okay? Of prime degree L, and L will not be the same as the characteristic of the field. Okay, so that's the situation that we'll be interested in. Under this assumption, any isogeny like this will be is separable. Okay, so the kernel will be the degree of the size, meaning the kernel will be L, okay, size L. So another nice thing is that these isogenies are classified by just looking at the kernels. What I mean is, if you have an elliptic curve and you have two isogenies, say P1 and P2, if the kernels are the same, then these are isomorphic. Okay, so you can satisfy the commutes also. So in some sense, to look at L isogenies, we have to study the kernels of these. What is the possible choices for the kernels of these isogenies? And that's not very hard to do. Let's briefly look at that. So if the kernel of the isogeny has cardinality L, then in particular this kernel should be contained in the L torsion points of the elliptic curve L, E. But we know that under this situation, this is isomorphic to V mod L cross V mod L. And we know that if two subgroups of order L are the same, then the isogenies will agree if they have those two subgroups as the kernel. So in some sense, to count the number of L isogenies starting from E, all we need to do is count the number of L subgroups of this particular object, and there are L plus one such subgroups. So there are L plus one isogenies up to isomorphism. So if, for example, if EL is generated by the points P and Q, then you can look at the groups P and Q plus I times P, where I is between 0 and L minus 1. Okay, so for each of these groups, you'll get a distinct isogeny. So the next point is the field of definition of these isogenies, which kind of affects the questions about computation. So let's say an isogeny is defined over K. Well, if the equations that give the isogeny are defined over K, have coefficients of K. So if the curve is defined over a finite field, this question is kind of very simple. So if you have an isogeny like this, defined over FP, let's say, this happens if and only if it commutes with the Frobenius. Phi on E is the same as phi on E prime on both E. Okay, so why is this important? So let me make that a note. So if phi is an isogeny, defined over a big field Fp to the R, then even to write down the answer, we might need to write down an element of Fp to the R, and that requires R mod p steps, even to write the answer, okay? So it's an unfortunate fact that there are isogenies of degree defined over extensions of degree L. So there exists phi over extremely, we are going to be looking at the cases where this L, the degree of the isogeny is really large. And for such isogenies, we require at least L log P steps just to even possibly write down the answer. Okay, so nothing good can be expected for such situations. So thank you. gonna kind of focus on another easy case where we can actually evaluate these isogenies. When the endomorphism ring and E is an order in an imaginary quadratic ring, the Frobenius sits inside the endomorphism ring O. And everything here is simply represented as A plus D pi. And for any endomorphism like that, you can actually evaluate it very fast because it's just Frobenius and then multiplication by scalars. So these guys can also be computed easily. I'll do is I'll give you the way in which any isogeny of degree L can be evaluated. Okay, so this is a general method. It goes back quite a long time to Jacques Delu, and this is from 1971. And we'll be using this in the later part of the talk, so it might be useful to summarize this. And so here, situation is, let's say you have an elliptic curve over FP, and G is a subgroup of the points of E over the algebraic plane, so some finite subgroup. And Delu gives the isogeny equations which has the kernel exactly this group, so the curve E going to E mod G. Okay? And it's kind of a nice definition. So let's say the function field of this E, the curve E, is given by these two functions, x and y. Then Delu defines these two functions, which he calls xg and yg, whose value at a point is a kind of an average over this group. So it's x of p plus summation over q in g minus o, the origin, of x of p plus q minus x of q. And the same definition for that. So some quick observations are that if p is a point in this group g, then xg and yp actually are invariant. So they actually map it to xg of p is the same as x of 0 of the identity, and yg of p equal to x of, y of the identity. Let's go. So it's not that hard to believe, perhaps, that these two functions, x and y, xg and yg, generate the function field of the curve. Okay, so and also the isogeny phi is given by the point xy, or rather, say point p maps to x sub g of p and y sub g of p. So Velu goes further to actually derive the equations giving the bias cross equation of the curve EG, E mod G, and all that. So it does a good job. So let's look at how efficient is this process. So evaluating Velu would require O of the cardinality of G times log square Q plus log square Q prime, where to evaluate psi of p, where p is a point in V of fq, and the group g is contained in V of fq prime. So you kind of have to work with the extension field that contains both of them. And to evaluate the value of xg and yg, you have to run through the sum, so it requires that much time. And so let's say if the degree of psi is L, then as I said before, there are isogenies that have a very large extension degree over which all these points lie, and that could be L squared at most, q prime q to the L squared. So all this tells you that Velu would require L cubed log square q prime to evaluate an isogeny. There have been quite a number of improvements to reduce this exponent on L. I'll just mention one result. You can probably look at the paper to get references for earlier work.
What is the timestamp here?
This is a bit operations, actually counting. So if you want to just count the time steps, it would just be L cubed operations in the field containing both of them.
L cubed prime, is that most Q to the L?
Q to the L squared. Yeah.
Are all the computations you're doing algebraic over FQ, so we can just stick to counting algebraic operations?
Right, yeah. So.
I'm sorry, if you have a rational subgroup of order L,
if it's a rational subgroup, yeah, then of course, yeah, it kind of depends on where this group is contained in.
Well, but you have a subgroup of order L, and the subgroup as a whole is rational, not the individual.
Right. Then it would be defined over a smaller subfield. But then to evaluate this, you have to go through these two sums, and you have to run through the whole group. That's why one L is coming.
Your G is over L. You're assuming there the degree of psi is L.
Right. If you just naively compute this, I mean, you'll take this point Q and add Y of P plus Q, and to do that, you would work on the elliptic curve E of the...
In the extension of the kernel. Yeah, but for subgroup order L...
Right, we'll come to that. I mean, this is the naive implementation. If you just look at this thing and blindly implement it, that wouldn't be how you would do it, though. Because, in fact, these equations have coefficients in FQ, as you said. Right, so, yeah, so... In any case, you can't expect anything better than L times log squared fq, right? So
if I use q prime as at most q to L squared, don't I get L to the fifth times?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But I prefer to use q to the L and stick to the L cubed.
Okay, yeah.
L squared is faster.
Okay. Yeah, right. So maybe to make this. It's bad, okay, so if you want to do the naive implementation. But you wouldn't do that, so you can use the algorithm given by these people, Boston, Moran, Salvi, and Schultz. This paper is available online off Moran's webpage, for instance. I think this is from 2005 or 2006, not exactly sure. And this is O. Can evaluate an isogeny in O of L, log log L, operations over FQ. So you can use that algorithm instead. So, okay, so how can we do better than any of these things? For that, we have to look at the endomorphism ring. And most of the results that I would be using are from the thesis of Waterhouse and scholar Abelian varieties of finite fields. And this is from 1969. Okay. Come back to this situation. So we have an isogeny between two elliptic curves, and say this isogeny is defined over FP. And that happens if and only if, as I said, the Frobenius commutes with this, in which case the characteristic polynomial of the Frobenius on this curve is the same as the characteristic polynomial of Frobenius on this curve. And that would be the pth power of Frobenius. That's the easy direction, if you will, of Tate's theorem. And as a result, choosing some embeddings of these endomorphism rings, I can think of the order ZH and pi contained in both of them. Okay. And they, of course, both sit inside of K, where K is the field by which these things have complex configurations. So this is,
some of those can be inserted backwards.
Sorry?
The upper right and the lower left.
Oh, no. Okay, thanks. Clearly typographically challenged. And so, also, if so basically what that says is if any curve is isogenous, these elliptic curves, I mean, they might have an order which is bigger or smaller than n e, or maybe even incomparable to e and e. So I would look at the set which I call L of O to be that those isogenous elliptic curves that have the same endomorphism ring as this elliptic curve E. So all this endomorphism ring are those endomorphisms that are actually K rational or FP rational. Is equal to this O. And then, so suppose I is an ideal in this order O, then we can take this, look at this group G to be the intersection of all those kernels of those endomorphisms that are here. Okay, so G is a finite group because each kernel is finite. Turns out that the cardinality of G is actually the norm of the ideal norm of this ideal height. And furthermore, all these are results that are either there or directly follow from Rutherhouse's thesis. And furthermore, the endomorphism ring of E mod G is exactly the same endomorphism. And this uses the fact that this every ideal here is a kernel ideal. So meaning I is exactly those endomorphisms that kill this group. So this kind of used to prove that you have an equality here. And next, what I want to do is analyze when two ideals will give rise to the same elliptic curve. Okay. So what we have so far is that if you have E or FP and N of E is O and I is contained in O and ideal, then E mod the kernel of this ideal I has the same endomorphism. So I'm just restating what we have so far. And here's a proposition that that Waterhouse proves. You get, let's say you quotient out the elliptic curve E by G1, and you quotient out by G2, and you ask when can these two curves be isomorphic. So this proposition gives an answer to that. It says that this happens if and only if there is an endomorphism in the elliptic curve and a non-zero integer such that rho inverse of G1 is the same as n inverse of G2. So supposing we have an ideal I1, and this is the same as beta times I2, where beta is 1k, then we can write this as I1 is some rho over n times I2, where rho is in the endomorphism ring of this elliptic curve T, and n is an integer. And this means that ni1 is equal to rho i2, and so rho inverse of g2 is the same as the kernel of rho i2, things like this, and n inverse of g1 is the kernel of ni1, and we know that these two are equal as ideals. So in other words, if two ideals are the same in the class group, then they give rise to isomorphic elliptic curves. And the theorem of Waterhouse was quite useful. That L of O is a set of elliptic curves over FP with endomorphism ring O. Then the class group of this order acts freely on E on the set LO with one orbit. So this is the non-supersingular case. This is true, and the cardinality of the set is the same as the class number of this order. For instance. So we have even an estimate of the size of the set as a result. So now what is our idea to compute isogenies? It is to decompose an ideal in the class group and use that decomposition to help us compute it. Okay, so so if you have U or FP, elliptic curve O contained in K, the endomorphism ring, and let's say that the prime L actually does not divide the discriminant of this ring. And also let's assume that L splits in OK. And more notation, CL of O is basically you choose a set of representatives for this I H, for the class group. And now, well, you have L splits as two ideals because it's splitting in the field. And also, we have the isomorphism because L does not divide this discriminant. It's L maximum. And now you look at this this kernel I, and you decompose it in the class group, so that is equal to this times, say, I1. Then we can compute the isogeny corresponding to this, this as the kernel. So let's say, let psi be the isogeny kernel of psi equal to the kernel of this ideal. suppose alpha is beta over n, beta is in the endomorphism ring, then psi of a point p is the same as psi 1 of beta of q, where q is a point such that n times q is p. And you can show that this process is doesn't depend on the choice of the inverse. Okay, so that's the idea. So supposing that the class group is small and you have a set of small norm generators for the ideal, then you would decompose the isogeny, which has degree L, in the class group, and it's simply expressed as some endomorphism acting on a point which is in the pre-image of the multiplication by N map of Q. And if this can be computed fast, that can be computed fast. And this is usually easy to do because you know the cardinality. You can count the number of points. For instance, if N is relatively prime to the order of the subgroup, then Q is simply M times P, where M, N is congruent to 1 mod this cardinality. So using tricks like this, you can find the inverse image here. And supposing this is also a small norm endomorphism, which you can use value or some other method to find, then you can evaluate the whole thing and basically log to the sum power you like. So that is roughly the idea. So supposing an illustration of how you can get this isogeny using value, I just describe a little bit about that. So let's say I1 is actually, well, I'll write it this way, but this is not how you do it. It's plus C plus P times pi, where pi is a Frobenius. Not that Frobenius actually has a big norm, so you wouldn't do this for this particular expression, but you would use like A plus B, beta here, okay, where beta is the endomorphism that generates that order. And then what we want is to describe the kernel in terms of some equations. So what does it mean? Let's say, so P is in the kernel of this endomorphism A plus B pi, only if AP is the same as minus B pi of P. And using division polynomials, this can be expressed as a polynomial relation. So let's say division polynomials are such that n times the point P is P sub n of xy in psi n of xy squared omega n of xy psi n of xy cubed. Then to describe this kernel, you look at phi a of xy over psi a of xy squared, and this should be the same as p sub b of x to the p, y to the p, divided by psi sub p of x to the p, y to the p squared. This is one of the equations. There's another equation corresponding to the y coordinates. So this is just the x-coordinates. I'm comparing the x-coordinates of these points. And for the y-coordinates, you get the p. So once you do this, there's another observation you can make, is that this kernel is stable under the multiplication by minus 1 map. So you can eliminate y squared using the equation for the curve. And you'll end up with a polynomial in one variable. You do that for the corresponding y-coordinates and take the GCD of both of them. And do the same thing for this generator, c plus d pi. You'll get a polynomial in one variable which describes whose roots are the x-coordinates of the kernel of I1. Then you use value on that and get the isogeny corresponding to this. Okay, so all this can be done providing these I1s are of small norm. Okay, so there's a little bit more. So out of all this procedure, we can basically just get two isogenies of degree L. So what's happening to the rest of the isogenies? I'll just maybe I should. should drive this on so method runs in polynomial time. If D, which is the discriminant of order O, is basically some power of bounded by some power of Q. And a case where this, these things are true is when you produce the elliptic curve using the CM method. Okay. So next question is, there are L plus one isogenies of degree L. You've told me how to compute just two of them. What's happening to the rest? The rest are not obtained by this method. Here is why. Case we've assumed that the endomorphism ring is actually maximal at L, so there's no way it can grow. So it's going to shrink. So the endomorphism ring of the target curve is going to be smaller. And furthermore, O is equal to O prime if and only if the kernel of P is equal to the kernel of an ideal for I at O. So for any ideal I, we know that we're going to preserve the endomorphism ring. So this procedure will never hit these kind of isogenies, but there's still bad news for isogenies like that, which shrink the endomorphism ring. And that's because they're defined over large extension fields. So let me describe a little bit. Defined over this extension of P to the R, if and only if, as Everett was pointing out, pi to the R stabilizes this kernel. Okay. Yeah, so we have this situation in our case. So let's look at what pi, the action of pi on the L plus 1 points is. This can be given by some matrix in GL to FL. And our assumption that L splits and L does not divide the discriminant of the order implies that it actually splits as two roots. It has two roots. So as a result, this matrix is diagonalizable and you have these two roots sitting here. And the matrix is looking like this. And there are clearly two subspaces, the one which is eigenvector, one generated by this eigenvector and one generated by this eigenvector, for which pi acts as multiplication by L. And those are precisely the two isogenies that are defined over the base field. And that's exactly what we're getting. But the remaining ones are defined over that extension field for which this matrix acts as multiplication by a scalar. And that's just the order of this matrix here. And that order divides L minus 1. And presumably it could be very large because these alpha and beta are kind of randomly distributed.
Just one question. What happens when you take very friendly curves where
yeah, then you can
smaller
then you can do then the isogenies at least are defined over small extension fields, but then this method still doesn't work. Yeah, you're right. So I was going to say in the end that the proper way to write the question down that I wrote before is to actually include the field of definition of the isogeny and see if we can get a method that kind of scales well with the field of definition of the isogeny. But I'll describe what happens for the other cases too, just a little bit. So let's say that this L not splitting in OK, but say it's ramified, then the matrix actually looks like this. here we have one subspace, one isogeny defined over Fp. And the rest of them, this is basically like addition by something. So the other space that appears only at the beginning L extension. And all the rest of the isogenies defined over Fp to the L. And then the final case is when L is inert in this field. And in that case, you have the Frobenius action would look like this. Think of Z mod L or Z mod L as a dimension 2 vector space over FL. I would think of it as FL squared, and the matrix, which is the Frobenius, acts as a multiplication by a scalar in that, which is not in the base field FL. Okay? So as a result, this would operate as scalar on this two-dimensional vector space only if it lies in the base field. You have to take it to the correct exponents of the, belongs to the base field. And that's the degree over which all the isogenies are defined over. And that divides L this one. Okay, so that's the complete situation of all this big picture. Only two of the isogenies we can do by this method.
I'm a little confused. I thought that your two elliptic curves are both defined over the same field.
Defined over the same field, yes.
Okay. Then typically all isogenies between them will be defined over at worst the quaternary extension.
That's right. You're considering the case B equal to zero. You're absolutely right. But let's say you're just given one elliptic curve, okay? And then you are asked to generate an isogeny of degree L. That's kind of the situation. Yeah, you're right. Good. Thanks for the clarification. Yeah. So that's all I wanted to say about